Let's welcome our first speaker, Chris G. from Burlingame, California.
Good morning, I'm Chris G. and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Chris.
I'm not really sure how I got put on this panel because I'm not agnostic or atheist, but I asked around, I was like, what do you want from me? And nobody gave me an answer, and I guess I'm supposed to be here. And so I'm going to spend 20 minutes sharing my experience with you, and you know, I just want to tell you, I'm not here to win any arguments. I'm not here to impress you. I'm not here to do anything other than to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I think it's really important, because some people are going to need to get that message or they're not going to make it. So I have been agnostic and atheist in my life. I didn't believe in anything. Why would I? It couldn't be proven. So I didn't have much of a belief of anything, and bad things had happened, and how could there be a God? You know, if there's such a great God, number one, why doesn't it reveal itself? And number two, how would it allow all this to happen? Pretty good questions. I was taught later that maybe God doesn't cause all the problems in the world. Maybe people do. Never really thought of it like that. Anyways, I got out sober at 21, and I got here, and when I got sober, they told me that there'd probably come a day that nothing would keep me sober but a fit spiritual condition. I didn't believe that, but they said that. When I got sober, we didn't have cell phones and a lot of ways to stay connected, and most of the time you're not in AA when you're sober. You know, in 1991, you're out in the world, and I wasn't going to be able to keep myself sober. I want to throw one thing out there. I am talking in the context of a real alcoholic. I'm not talking about somebody who drank a lot who can keep themselves sober. And it's important differentiation, and we'll get into that just a little bit. Did I drink past choice? Am I able to keep myself sober with my mind? If I can, then I don't need God because I've got enough power. But did I drink past choice? It's really an important consideration. Just because I'm in AA doesn't mean I did. I had to get clear on that in step one. I'm the kind of drinker who drank every day. That doesn't make me alcoholic, but it does. What makes me alcoholic is that I have the phenomenon of craving. So once I drink, I can't control how much I drink. And secondly, I can't stay stopped on my power. I say I'm going to stop. One day I poured out all the alcohol one day in my house. I said I'm never going to drink again. And the next morning I realized there was a bottle in the garage and I drank again. I can't keep myself sober. So do I have that? And the third part, do I have the spiritual malady, which is huge? That was the part I didn't understand in Alcoholics Anonymous. Do I have the spiritual malady, which manifests itself as a restless, irritable, and discontented state? And what happens is I get like that, and after a while, the mental obsession comes back, and I drink again. Is that me? I was that way before I drank, so it only makes sense after I stopped drinking. That was still there. I was treating it with alcohol. That was me when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't want to drink anymore. See, that was the thing. I was sure I was done in the sense I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't think I could keep myself sober, but I didn't want to drink anymore. And there's some points in the book that really bring up some things. I had to get in step one, am I beyond human aid? Now, in AA, the ABCs talk about that, and the second one is, no human power can keep me sober. Do I believe that? Do I believe the group can keep me sober? My experience is the group will keep people from not drinking in Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time. I've seen it. But the mental obsession can still take people out. I've seen people in AA groups who are involved in Alcoholics Anonymous drink again. Meeting makers don't make it. That's not what I've seen. Usually what's going on is they stop their connection with the program way before they even left the program and with God. Do I believe that I can keep myself sober or not? I've seen a lot. I work with a lot of people in AA now, and many of them have time, and they drank for 15 and 18 years, and they were doing what they were supposed to do. They were going to meetings, they were sponsoring people, and in service, and they drank. And it's exactly what we talk about is what happened to them. They started to get spiritually disconnected, and then eventually they stopped going to meetings, and they fell away. But they had been worshiping the fingers of AA, go to meetings, go get in the steps, get in the service, get a sponsor, all those things. I can still fade away. The reason is my ego will rebuild in sobriety and start cutting me off spiritually. That's why I was taught I've got to rework the steps regularly. I've got to see where I'm at spiritually, regularly, or I start getting disconnected and my mind just takes me to crazy ideas and places. See, my problem is my mind, so how am I going to count on my mind to keep me sober? How am I going to count on being able to pick up the phone when I'm crazy? That's not how I am. If I drank past choice, how am I going to count on my mind? So kind of the blocks for me to believing in some, willing to believe in some kind of higher power had to do with, do I believe I'm beyond human aid, you know? If I do, then there's that line that says, faced with alcoholic destruction, we start to become open-minded to spiritual matters. If I really think I'm going to die and I want to live, my mind starts to open to something. Because, or do I think I have a third option? See, there's live an alcoholic death, live on a spiritual basis. What happens in, to me was, I think I have a third option. Maybe I can just go to meetings and do a lot of service. Maybe if I just get the right girlfriend. Maybe if I just get a great job. Maybe if I get a great enough outside external life, then I won't want to drink. But for me, what I did in AA is I exhausted all those options. When all those outside things weren't working anymore. And I was dying inside and I wanted to drink. And I don't know about you guys, but when my mental obsession starts coming in, I can feel it, and I know there will come a day when I won't be able to overpower it, because a mental obsession is defined as a thought that outweighs any other thought. So how am I gonna save myself if with my mind? So I became open-minded to spirituality. Is it possible that there is something? And, you know, and the big obstacle was, do I believe I'm beyond human aid or not? You know, and so we just go through, we agnostics, and I had to realize, now why won't I try it? The other reason was, I generally, what the book talks about, and it's so me, is doubt and prejudice. I have doubt towards God that it'll work. When I say God, I'm talking about higher power of your own understanding. I have doubt it won't work. Maybe I grew up in a religious area, or maybe I prayed and I didn't get what I got a lot, so I don't believe there's anything. You know, maybe I was such a bad person, I think God's pissed at me and doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. You know, prejudice. You know, I went to a Catholic high school and I didn't want what they had. And I said, I'm not buying this, and I'm not religious today. But we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a spirituality, a higher power in AA. And I had equated organized religion with God. It's not the same thing. I thought they were the same. I thought God is something else, organized. But I had put the two together. Would I be willing to separate those two? When I think I'm going to die and I'm beyond human aid and nothing else is going to save me, my mind starts to at least open to these considerations. Is this possible? Maybe I need to lay that stuff aside, lay it aside, my prejudice and doubt, and try. And so, you know, I was willing to try that because I didn't want to die, and I wasn't sure what would happen in this program if I just kind of got real busy around here. And, you know, I work with a lot of people who've drank, and I've worked with people who won't get who have a hard time getting sober too. And it's usually because they're really hung up with the higher power thing. You know, now there's people in AA who are sober, who are agnostic. That's fine. But when I started surrendering to some kind of real higher power and believing, I started getting a lot more peace in my life. And I do believe that is related to staying sober. Now, a higher power, it's not just believing in a higher power. It's, why do I need a higher power? So that's another question. Why would I even need to do this? It's just personal preference, right? If I stay busy in AA, I'll stay sober. Actually, if you look at our program, it says lack of power is my problem. What the hell does that mean? I didn't understand what that meant. It means that I've got this spiritual internal condition, restless, irritable, and discontented, what that really, if you break it into how it works, it talks about self-centeredness as the root of our troubles. That's my problem. And it says I can't fix myself. So I can't fix my problem. Now, I hear in AA all the time that service fixed self-centeredness. That doesn't say that in my book. I have a lot of experience in Alcoholics Anonymous realizing how self-centered I was, and I got up every morning and said, I'm not going to be so self-centered today, and I'm going to work on it because I know it's killing me, and I couldn't get rid of it. It will kill us if it stays that way, it says. It says that we need God for that. I can't fix myself. Do I believe that? A lot of people don't. I didn't either at the beginning, but after a lot of years in Alcoholics Anonymous, I finally did because I had the experience of working on myself. It doesn't say we work on ourselves in this program. If we could work on ourselves in this program, it would be a self-help program. This is not a self-help program. It's a program of getting some power in my life that will take me past some of my problems. Now, I know people don't believe that, and I did too. I was like, what a bunch of BS. But I'll tell you what, when I got desperate enough in Alcoholics Anonymous and tried it, it really did work. What I found out was I didn't believe the big book. But the truth was I'd never gone through the big book line by line and tried it. And that's what blew my mind when someone finally showed me how to go through that thing. The directions for getting sober, or the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, is the first 164 pages of the big book. They're clear-cut instructions on how to get sober and how to get free. But I wasn't willing to try it. I was probably really scared. And also, I never found someone who seemed to understand it that well. You know, I'd been through the book with some different people, and then I found this one woman who just knew it so well, and she took me through it, and I had a completely different experience. So lack of power is my problem today. See, self-centeredness is the root of my troubles, but the real problem is I can't fix my self-centeredness. I can't fix myself. The day I realized that in Alcoholics Anonymous was one of the greatest days I'd ever, seriously, because I'd been relying on Chris to fix myself and get free, and I was nowhere near any of that. I was dying in the rooms with a lot of years in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I went through the steps, and we went through two, and it said God is everything or nothing. And I was like, that's a bunch of nonsense. How can God be everything? Chris, you don't understand what it means. It means, am I going to rely on Chris from here on out or God? It wasn't very hard because I've been relying on Chris my whole life and I was completely miserable. Would you be willing to rely on some sort of power from here on out? Maybe give it a shot. Your way hasn't worked, right? Well, that's true. So I went with that. And we went through the steps. We went through step three, made a decision to go for the spiritual experience. It wasn't a very hard decision because I had exhausted all my own resources. I had already run my life into the ground. See, it's not a hard move when you're absolutely sure you're already bankrupt. The people that have a hard time with making that kind of decision think they can still run their life effectively. And the truth is, maybe they can. I couldn't. I was at that place where I couldn't. It was very clear to me that my life, I couldn't do it anymore. I was going to die if I didn't. That's a wonderful place. That's the gift of desperation. It's not a very comfortable place when you're in it, but it's one of the most wonderful places an alcoholic can be because we start taking actions we could have never dreamed of doing before. So I went through, we wrote an inventory. An inventory is actually designed to show me what's blocking me from my spirit. That's all it is. It said resentment. By the way, it says we can't get rid of resentment on our own power either. We got to have God's help. We can't wish it away, even more than alcohol. Fear, it says the same thing. I've got to take all these things to this power. Went through the inventory, and the question was, can you fix yourself? I've got all this resentment. I've got this fear. I've got this sex inventory where I've been living a fear-based life, right? And I'm like, no, I cannot. And I know if this doesn't change, I'm screwed. And my sponsor said something I'd never heard someone say before. Do you find all this objectionable how you live? I go, yeah, I've been trying to fix myself for years. It's like, what do you think is going to happen if you stay this way? I go, I'm absolutely sure I'm not going to be able to stay here much longer. And I'm dying inside. And said, or do you, you know, so you can't fix yourself. You need an act of God, don't you? And I go, well, yeah, I do. But I don't believe that that will happen. You know, I'm not lying. I'm not trying to give her some line about, you know, how trying to say the right thing. I'm like, I don't believe that will happen. And she's like, yeah, of course not. I was being honest. And so I went into step seven terrified because I've gone all the way with God here. And I'm going to God now and saying, please remove this stuff. And if nothing happens, then there is no God and I'm dead because I've kind of put my whole life out on the table here. And I went into step seven and I said the seventh step prayer and I walked away and nothing felt different. You know, and I was like scared to death. And then I was wait a few days. I felt no different. And then I called my friends up and I said, nothing happened. I don't know what to do. And they said, well, go talk to God about it. And I go, that's a joke. People don't talk to God. Like, no, just go sit down quietly and just say to God what you want to say. So I went and did that. And said the seven-step prayer again, and nothing happened. But I walked away going, I've done everything I can do. I've done everything I can do. And what was funny was the next day I got up and I felt the same and I went downtown to my morning meeting and I was neutral. All these resentments I had to a lot of these people, I was totally neutral. They were gone and it blew my mind. I was like, wow, maybe this thing does work. Maybe the big book isn't lying. You know, I wasn't walking around with talking to God per se, but I had had a shift and people came up to me, dude, you're different. What have you been doing? And so the big book calls for a conscious contact. It's saying that if we go through the steps thoroughly, we are going to establish a conscious contact with a higher power, some sort of spirit. Okay. And I can go to that spirit for direction. Okay, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect in my life, but it's going to give me the power to rise above some of my problems. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems. The power to rise above it, and I've seen that happen in my life. Some problems that I have that don't bug me anymore. It's rather amazing. So I had to, you know, as I go through the steps, I start to get a belief in this power as I see these things happen again and again. Went into nine and had the same kind of thing. Started trusting and making these amends approaches, and it blew my mind. I was like, wow, there just might be something out there. I just kept having these amends, and amazing things would happen, and then they would call me 4 months later and invite me to a place. This person was an enemy, like all these things again and again. And I started to have to go, you know, maybe there is something out there. And I'm getting freer and freer. And that is about staying sober. You know, I do believe that. And so what I do is then I go and meet up with people and take them through the process. And that brings me even closer to the Spirit. So I do believe in a power today. I don't know what it is. I don't claim to understand God. That would be pretty arrogant, wouldn't it? But I know there's a power in my life because when I check in and I do the spiritual work it says for me to do, I get dramatic results. And I can ask for guidance. And if I sit quietly for a while after I ask, I get sometimes an intuitive thought or my intuition, my heart, which I believe is how my higher power speaks to me through my heart, my intuition. I get guidance sometimes. Not always. Sometimes I don't. So that's okay. But I find it a very workable, simple spiritual program. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Let's welcome our second speaker, Emily O. from San Mateo, California.
Hello, my name is Emily. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Emily.
And this is an interesting topic for me to be speaking on. It's one that I've just recently decided to start opening up in shares at meetings, because I just recently hit 5 years sober and. Nothing has really caused me more shame in my recovery than the feeling that I had something missing, that everybody else in Alcoholics Anonymous had something that I didn't have. And so that made me feel wrong and bad and different and not a part of. And the truth for me is that I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and I found something here and it worked for me to solve my drink problem, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here sober 5 years, you know. My experience with a higher power, or a God, you know, kind of starts when I was really young. You know, I was that kid that always wanted to be accepted. I always, you know, I hear that from a lot of people. And early on, I found out that, you know, like going to church was a good idea because the kids that were there were required to be nice to you, you know, because it was church, you know. And so that was my first experience with a higher power. I had a friend that whose parents made her go to church, and I was like, okay, like, that's how I'm going to get in. That's how I'm going to get a group of friends. I'm going to go to this youth group, and they're going to have to be nice to me, you know. And I went to this youth group, and I sang in the church band, and I was part of the sermons, and I was at this Nazarene church, and I played along. I played the part, you know. You know, and I don't know if things really resonated with me or if I was just playing another part like I had my whole life. You know, I always wanted to be accepted, and I was willing to do whatever it took to make people like me, and that started with spirituality and with religion at a very early age, you know. You know, I lost my dad when I was 12 years old to this disease, and I used that as an excuse to fuel my drinking. You know, I never really blamed bad things in my life on a higher power, but I did have a lot of resentment and a lot of hate, and I didn't know where it came from. You know, alcoholics are kind of like that, you know. I drank at people. I drank because of things. I just, you know, I had reason. And, you know, when I got sober, I got, you know, the first time that I really thought that I had a problem, I wasn't ready to stop. But at 18 years old, I had this little bit of willingness, and I'm not sure where it came from, you know, but I was sick and tired of living the way that I was living, plain and simple. I was sick and tired of it, and I was presented with Alcoholics Anonymous through my sister, you know. I don't know if that has anything to do with God or higher power or anything, you know, because for me, a lot of the experience that I have where good things happen in my life, it has to do with people. You know, I don't necessarily agree with some people's opinions where they say that, you know, no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. One of the second, it says probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. You know, somebody told me early on that the people in Alcoholics Anonymous and the good people that we come in contact with, they put the skin on the God thing, right? Because it's really hard for me to conceptualize somebody that looks like, you know, everybody's picture of Jesus sitting up in a chair in the sky, or, you know, somebody that I have this relationship with that we walk hand in hand, and I talk to him and he talks back to me and we're just buddy-buddy. You know, that's not something that, like, that works for me, you know, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, and I'm not saying that it doesn't work for other people. It's just not my story. You know, my experience is that at 18 years old, I realized that drugs and alcohol were creating so much wreckage in my life, and that once I put any alcohol into my system, I could not stop. I didn't know how I was going to fix that problem. I tried a couple of times to stop, and I'd find myself drunk again. I never knew about Alcoholics Anonymous. I never knew that it existed until it was something that was presented to me. You know, I had made a decision at 18 to stop using drugs, and my decision had something to do with the fact that, you know, there was always a reason for that. You know, I needed to pass a hair test. I needed to get a good job. I needed to do this stuff, you know. So I had I wasn't fully convinced that drugs were ruining my life, but I knew that something needed to change. So I made the decision to stop using drugs, and I had my sister came into my room, and she said, if you think that goal is going to be a hard thing for you to reach, I know this place where you can go, and it's called Alcoholics Anonymous. I had just moved 900 miles from Arizona to the Bay Area, and I had no friends and nothing else to do on a Monday night, and she promised me ice cream, you know, after going to this meeting. And my immediate response was that I wasn't an alcoholic, you know. I only had a drug problem, and she suggested to me that I check out this meeting and that I could go there and I could look for the similarities and not the differences. And so I did that. You know, I went to that meeting and there was a 17-year-old girl speaking, and I was a couple weeks shy of 18, you know, so 17 at the time. And this this girl that shared her story, you know, there were certain things in there that I related to. But there was some way that she was different from me, and it was that she was happy and I was not. And the way that she told me that she got that is through what I heard was that she did Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, so I related to this person. She had something I didn't have. I wanted what she had, and I was willing to do whatever she did to get it. So she talked about the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was something that I was interested in doing. I had a woman come up to me and offer to sponsor me. I was terrified of her. She was my worst nightmare in high school, you know, super pretty, thin, tall, blonde, and she was going to tell all my secrets, you know. But for some reason, like, I was willing to do it, you know, because I knew that anything was better than the way that I was living. We started to work the steps, and you know, we got to the first step. I knew that I had no control over my alcoholism, you know, and that my life was unmanageable. I knew that before I started reading the book. I knew that. The second step was really hard for me. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, I had had experience with the God, and for me, I couldn't wrap my head around what they had taught me in church, you know. It wasn't for me, you know. It wasn't wrong, but it wasn't for me. So I just agreed to go along, you know. And that started my, you know, I didn't know anything about honesty at that point. I didn't know that I could say no to that. I didn't know that, you know, I don't know. I just did it, you know. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, and they say made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of that higher power, and as we understood, or care of God as we understood Him. And I was like, yeah, why not? You know, there was no thought that went into it. You know, and I worked the steps a few more times, and I did that inventory, and you know, I would like to say that, like, I had this, whatever they call a spiritual awakening, you know, that, like, there were, I was expecting that once I worked the steps and I got to step 12, it talked about having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice the principles in all of our affairs, right? So my expectation of a spiritual experience was that there was going to be some light show, some burning bush, some amazing thing that was going to happen to me, and I never got that, you know? But I heard people in meetings talk about that experience, and so I thought that was the only option. And that was how you really knew that you found a higher power. That was how you really knew that you had done Alcoholics Anonymous, is when you got that. And so I sat in Alcoholics Anonymous waiting for that to happen for me, and it never did. And so inside of me, all this shame started building up. I felt like I was doing Alcoholics Anonymous wrong, that I had missed something, that I was getting, or I didn't get something that other people got. You know, and I was afraid to say that, because, you know, you hear in meetings all the time that the only thing that could have relieved my alcoholism is a higher power, right? And that just didn't ring true for me. You know, I did have some sort of faith, you know, because I continued to show up to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I knew that showing up to the fellowship and working the steps was helping me to become a different person. That was all that I knew. That was all that I could wrap my head around, you know, and so I was willing to do the work, because the way that I was living prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous was not right, you know. It didn't make me feel good. It didn't make my family feel good. It wasn't taking me anywhere, you know. And I've always had this feeling deep down inside of me that, you know, it's this little thing you call a conscience, right? You know, I think that most people, most sane people have that, you know, from what I've heard. They know the difference between right and wrong. You know it from the time that you're 2, 3, 4, you know. If I were to ask you what is better, honesty or dishonesty, you know, there's a right answer to that question for most people. If I were to ask you what is better, love or hate, most people would say love, you know. So I feel like I always knew the answer to those questions, you know, from the time I was little, through the time that I was drinking, through the time that I got sober. I knew the answers to those questions. I had this conscience, and every time that I did something that went against those things, every time that I lied, every time that I was hurtful to somebody else, I either felt guilt for it because I knew that it was wrong, or, You know, it got to a point where I had continued to do those things over and over and over and over again that I just didn't care anymore. You know, my behavior put me in a position, you know, the behavior and the choices that I was making put me in a position where that conscience was so quiet, that even though I knew the difference between right and wrong, I chose to do wrong anyway, you know, because it was what served my selfish motives at that time. You know, it was what helped me to live the lifestyle with drugs and alcohol. It was what co-signed my bullshit, you know, was those kind of things. And so, you know, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and I started working the steps, and then I got it reintroduced to those differences between right and wrong, you know, the principles of each of the steps, you know, and I got to learn how to be honest again, if I had ever been that way. I knew that honesty existed. I didn't know how to apply it. You know, in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it talks about some sort of moral psychology was necessary to these alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties beyond our conception, or something like that. Behind our what? Conception, yeah. So, you know, I always knew the difference between right and wrong. I just didn't know how to do it. So I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and the people here taught me how to do that. They taught me how to live differently. So today, as a result of working the steps, you know, I'm not a liar anymore. I don't steal from people. You know, I don't necessarily believe that anything swooped down and changed me, you know. it just wasn't my experience. I know that today I am 180 degrees different than I was 5 years ago. Let's see here. So I'm 180 degrees different than I was 5 years ago, and I kind of attribute that to doing the work. You know, I know that they say service doesn't keep you sober and the steps don't keep you sober. You need something beyond your, beyond people to keep you sober. You know, I never started. I didn't start praying when I was new. You know, they suggest that. They say you get on your knees and you pray, and you do that every morning. You get into a habit of doing that. I didn't get into that habit. And so when it was suggested to me later in my recovery that that's something I should try, it was something that felt so foreign to me and so fake that I couldn't do it. You know, it was just something that wasn't resonating with me. And so, you know, the way that, you know, there's one time, one consistent time that I always pray, and it's before I speak at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you want to call it prayer, it's great. But I say one thing every time. I say, help me to be honest, and help me to help at least one person in the room. You know, there's a line in the Big Book also that says we cannot stay sober if we fail to enlarge our spiritual condition through work and self-sacrifice for others. You know, that is how, if I do have some sort of spirituality in my life, that is how I attain it, is through work and self-sacrifice for others. I do what is outlined in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't necessarily understand everything that's in there. You know, I don't feel comfortable with saying that I have a higher power, because I don't have any evidence of that. As far as any tangible evidence, you know, I know that good things happen, but I have a hard time wrapping my head around it being something other than people, or something other than actions and attitudes and decisions of how to live my life. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I have the power to do, you know, that I had the power to save myself, because the truth is that I could not have stayed sober without Alcoholics Anonymous, period. You know, I could not have done it, which is why I'm still here. If I thought that I could do it by myself, you know, I wouldn't have stayed here this long, because this is not the easy way. This is not the convenient way all the time. You know, I don't want to get out of bed and go to a meeting sometimes. I don't want to pick up the phone for a sponsee. I don't want to take time out of my day to help somebody else, but I know that that works, you know. And so as far as speaking on this panel and talking about being an agnostic, you know, agnostic just has to do with lack of knowledge, you know? It just has to do with the fact that I just don't know, you know? And I can sit here and tell you that you don't have to understand a higher power or even have one or do that to stay sober. You know, that's been my experience, and I'm still here, and I feel like I'm relatively happy, and I'm a pretty decent person today, you know? I encourage you that if you are in Alcoholics Anonymous and struggling and feeling like you're missing out on something, that it's okay, that everybody has a different experience, and that, you know, for me, it wasn't a requirement to find a higher power that was kind of an intangible higher power. Let me say that, you know, there's been a lot of things that that are bigger than me, right? The group of Alcoholics Anonymous is more people than me. It has more power than me. Call that my higher power if you want, but then it conflicts with the second pertinent ideal that says that no human power could have relieved my alcoholism, you know? So, you know, I guess my belief system has some contradictions, you know, but I think a lot of people's do. I'm not sitting here and claiming that mine is right, but I know that it works for me. I lost my train of thought. You know, so recently I've been exploring this. You know, like I said, you know, I didn't create any. I wasn't told by my sponsor, or would I probably have been open to it in the very beginning to say they had for them to say, hey, you have to get on your knees every morning and you have to pray to this God and you have to say this and this and this and this and this. You know, I am not that kind of person. You know, I take directions pretty well, but I also have a mind of my own. You know, and I also am capable of formulating my own decisions, and it doesn't feel when a program is teaching you how to be honest, and yet your behavior is going against that. You know, if I don't really feel something, you know, it's hard for me to do it. You know, if I don't really believe it, I'm not going to do it. You know, it's just the way that I work, and so I have to be convinced that something is right for me. You know, I have over the last 4 months or so started to explore the idea of something greater than myself. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about their experience, and I shared with them, you know, how I felt in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, waiting for that burning bush experience, and how it made me feel less than and apart from, and you know, that I didn't feel comfortable faking it until I made it. You know, I was ready to sit here and say I don't believe, instead of saying I do believe and have that be a lie. You know, because I just don't know. You know, I just don't know. But you know, what's great about the third pertinent idea in how it works is that it said God could and would if He were sought. You know, and so all that tells me is that. You know, even if I haven't found it yet, if there's something else that everybody's talking about, like, at least by asking questions and talking to people about their experience and continuing to work the steps and seeing where I can grow and get better, that's a process of seeking, you know? I'm seeking out something that I don't understand, but people tell me is there. That doesn't mean that I believe in it, you know? I believe that maybe it exists. You know, I don't believe that it's not there, you know, but who knows? So that's where I'm at right now. I know that you can stay sober no matter what. I really suggest throwing yourself into the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous because in a lot of the times that I went through some hard stuff in recovery, the people here and the steps and my sponsor really, really saved my ass. And I know that in those situations, had I been isolated and disconnected from other people, I may not have made it through. I also want you to know that Alcoholics Anonymous is not a place for shame. It's just not, you know? I carried around enough guilt and shame about the things that... Sorry. about the things I had done to my family, the way that I had treated people, the lies that I had told, the way that I had lived my life when I came here, that I didn't need to add anything else to that plate. This is a place where you can come and be whoever you are, believe whatever the hell you want to believe, and still be here. You know, I want to remind you of the third tradition that states that the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. It does not say anywhere that there is a requirement to believe in a God. Nowhere. You know? And I can stay sober, you know? And you can stay sober. I encourage you to be honest with yourself and with other people. That's something I learned here in AA. but you don't have to feel shame here, you know? What I came to find out once I started talking about my experience and what I was waiting for and the shame that I felt, is that other people felt the way that I felt too, you know? And other people had had that experience too. And here I was for 5 years sitting in a meeting, in many, many, many meetings, feeling all alone, you know? And I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous to feel apart from and to feel disconnected and isolated, you know? Somebody also told me, my sister told me when I first got sober, that you're only as sick as your secrets, you know? And so by not telling anybody what my experience was or by not telling anybody how I felt and what I was struggling with this higher power thing, and just by not speaking up, I was giving it that much power. I was giving it, I don't think it was going to be the lack of a higher power that was going to take me out. It was going to be the guilt and shame of you know, and the process of separating myself from AA that was going to take me out. So, you know, I'm happy to say that I'm comfortable in meetings today, only because I'm honest about my doubts, you know, you know, I believe in something. I believe in Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe in the things that I can see, and I believe in the changes that I've seen in the people around me. I believe that I'm a different person today. I don't know what made that happen, you know. I know I did some work. I know I stayed involved, but that's about as far as I've gotten, you know. The book defines a spiritual experience as a personality change sufficient enough to bring about recovery from alcoholism. You know, it talks about the educational variety, and, you know, and I'd read that 100 times, and couldn't relate. And I guess I just can't be labeled, right? Like, I can't sit there and be like, oh, you're an agnostic, you're an atheist, you're a believer, you're religious, you're spiritual, you're this, you're that, you're the other. You know, I am what I am. I'm here. I'm sober. My life is different. I'm here to help people, and I do the best I can every day. So you can do it too. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. Let's welcome our third speaker, Pepe S. from San Francisco, California.
Hi, my name is Pepe. I'm an alcoholic. Everybody. It's all good. Whole bunches. people have fatigue. Thank you very much for your share, and thank you very much for your share, and thank you for secretarying the meeting. And last night I was, you know, in bed, and I was like, oh, what am I going to talk about? How many, you know? And then I just thought about, you know, I've left the debate society. I'm not here to argue for or against God or not God or anything like that. I'm just going to share my experience with you. That's it. That's my job. That's what we do. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was excited to get a God. It was so amazing. I had a God. I had what I like to refer to Bill Wilson's loving God of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, that made sense to me. It was like this, and I felt it, and I was in it, and I was like, this is great. And it was. I don't detract from that at all. I'm so grateful for all of that, and I'm grateful for everyone's experience, whether, you know, it be spiritual, not spiritual, atheist, whatever. And my understanding of atheist, I want to say that as an atheist, I'm not an anti-theist. An anti-theist says, there is no God and I know it. An atheist says, I see no evidence for God, but I'm willing to be shown. And an agnostic says, you know, either way, I'm not quite sure. So as an atheist, I see no evidence for God. And people go, well, you know, grumble, 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 grumble. You know, and I can get into that later on. But to go back, like, I had a God. And I had never had a God. I didn't grow up in a religious family. I'm not, as an atheist, I'm not bucking some sort of, like, trauma from, like, a priest doing something to me or something like that. And not to make light of anybody who's had that experience, I apologize. And I shouldn't make light of whatever, and we do it in AA all the time. But I had this thing, but there was something that was going on. It was like I these caveats that kept occurring. That I become an apologist for this. Well, I just don't understand the mind of God. It's happening. Well, why do bad things happen? And we dismiss that statement by, you know, the book talks about, you know, we could see all the problems with religion, all the problems, and it's as if we're not supposed to look at it. As if we're not supposed to say, yeah, but what about all the wars that were created by religion? You know, it's like, there are a lot of wars that were created by religion. There are a lot of wars created by non-religious people. I mean, it's like, I'm about reality. I'm about like, let's just talk about anything. Like, there's nothing that cannot be talked about in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I don't think that we should ever shut the door and dismiss anybody's question by saying, oh, well, that's a bad thing. Don't look there. No, that it should all be talked about. And so as I'm going through, this is very uncomfortable. As I'm going through my sobriety, it's just more and more I'm having to make these ideas and different little twists and turns of why did God do that and not do this and all this other stuff. And why did, you know, I always used to say, like, right now in the Sudan, a 14-year-old girl is being raped and probably murdered. And yet I can talk about God saved me. Why me and not her? And I couldn't answer that. And because I'm chosen, that's hubris. That's ridiculous to think that we are the chosen ones and that she's fucked and like that's just what she gets. You know, it's like there's either a loving God or there's not a loving God. And what, now we have to define loving God. What does that mean? But so I basically just, I became an agnostic. I was called myself a deist, all this other stuff. And for the most part, everyone's an atheist. Everyone's an atheist. Unless you believe in the divinity of Loki, you're an atheist. You don't believe that God. Unless you believe in the divinity of Shiva and the divinity of Zeus, you're an atheist. It's not just Jehovah. It's not just this one big creator. It's like the idea is like the lack of belief in any God makes you an atheist. So we're all atheists of some sort. Welcome home. and what made sense to me, there was that idea that I take the steps. I take the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they work. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I've been through that book for 21 years, and I've not seen anything else suggested as a program of recovery. And my experience, anecdotal as it may be, is that it works. It removes my fear, my resentment, and I've grown as a result. That's just my experience on that. I love the idea. I hate absolutes, and that's an absolute. I'm a contradiction. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even if we would have liked to, which means we don't like to. We're, you know, it would be interesting to be honest, but, you know, whatever, you know. And honesty as an absolute is not necessarily always good. When the Nazis came knocking on Anne Frank's door, nobody went, oh yeah, she's in the attic. It's not always, you know, so, okay. We don't always have to be honest. But rigorous honesty, whatever. There's a lot of contradictions. What I found is that you get to answer for yourself all these questions. Only you can answer this question. Your sponsor can't, your parents can't. You get to answer these questions and whatever works for you. What I have found is that the steps are a power greater than myself. I don't walk around in any kind of like, you know, I'm making myself sober. I'm doing it. It's not me. It is not me. This thing is done unto me on a daily basis because I take a daily inventory, because I meditate every day. It works. This works for me. And I didn't just jump into this belief, or it's not a belief, it's a lack of belief, haphazardly. Like, I know people many decades more sober than me at 21 years who are atheists as well. I know a guy who has been baptized 3 times and saved like 12 times. And he's sober like 38 years, and he's like, I'm an atheist. You know, it's like he used to believe. And it is, but I also don't believe that there should be any threat to anyone else's belief. I mean, if it brings up questions in your belief, that's fine. But I have great respect for everybody's belief or lack thereof. I'm not trying to say that you need to believe or do anything. I don't think I'm smarter than you. I don't think I'm better than you or more clever. That's not it at all. I'm just sharing my experience that I live an amazing life in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have to say that I was like, my friend here had like a very difficult time. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, you're on the atheist panel, but you're not an atheist. And then I was like, automatically, my resentment was like, oh, I'm like, every meeting's a non-atheist meeting. Why, you know, why can't we just have one? And, and then I was like, well, who cares? Let's just see what happens. This is interesting. This is really interesting. I love Alcoholics Anonymous very much. I love the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. These steps have changed my life and continue to change my life on a daily basis. I take a daily inventory. I do a 10-step. I do it at least twice a day because that's the minimum. That's what I have found for myself that works. I meditate every day. I had to go to somebody who showed me how to meditate, which is not a religious meditation. It's not any. It's just I meditate. I get quiet twice a day. And I've done that for 17 years. That's what I do. And I couldn't do without it. I can't. I've gotten to a place where I can't do without it. God is either everything or he is nothing. I always read that and thought, well, that means there's a God. And then one day I went, oh, wait, no, there's another option. He is nothing. And it was a little scary. It was like, that. What if there's just no God? There's nothing that's like overseeing everything and making it all happen and not happen. And then I just had to go, well, I don't see any evidence for that. You know. And then the other side of me is like, well, what keeps you sober? And then, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So I'm like, well, what gave me MS? You know, God can't get all the credit for all the good stuff and then have none of the credit for the bad stuff. And none of you gave me MS. And I was atheist well before I was diagnosed. So it's not like I'm resentful and like, ooh, you know, no, none of that. I'm going to hold this thing because it's very uncomfortable to lean over. I feel like I'm accepting an award right now. This is cool. Only because I'm holding this thing. Anyway. So my life continues to improve as a result of the steps. Meeting makers don't make it. You know, people go to a lot of meetings. But then I don't want to, like, I'm not here to agree with like, I can have resentment about that, and like, we can get together and agree in our resentment, which really is deadly. Like, oh yeah, fucking people come around talking about, why would I even bring that? Where did we arouse jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness? Bitterness. Like, let me be bitter about people just trying to make it one more day. Don't shoot the wounded. Like, really, like, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. Why can't I just be helpful and loving and generous? As I can be. I'm not going to be perfect at it. I'm not a saint. But it's like, I'm not here to offend anybody, like was said. Like I try actively to not be offensive, and I fail all the time. Because we're all offended, because the self-will is offended. Its job is to become offended. Its job is to become offended. And so we've got to crush the self. Well, what do? I take the inventory. I make that happen. And that works for me. That works for me. I'm not saying that I'll never believe, because that would be ridiculous. That there's nothing to say. I've changed my beliefs before. So evidence should say that I may change my belief again. So, but for right now, this is where I'm at. How much time do I have? 10 minutes. Oh, great. Okay, thanks. I forget that I'm talking to a microphone. I love that that we of Alcoholics Anonymous, like the beautiful thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is that the traditions are the, like, that's like the final say. Like, and even that's not the final say, but we just kind of go, okay, well, who cares? Like, who really cares about, like, are you one alcoholic and I'm an alcoholic and kind of try to carry the message to you? I love that idea. Try to carry the message. My job is to not carry the message, it's to try to carry the message. I've done my job if I've tried to carry this message. The message of the steps, the message of AA, that's the message for me. It might be different from somebody else, but that's the message that as I understand it, and that's what saved my life. And, you know, my home group, the people who showed me how to do this thing, this inventory on a daily basis, they're like, they believe in God. And I respect that also. I would be, you know, I don't think that there's any room for fight. There's no room for argument. There's room for love. There's room for acceptance. There's room for just getting the fuck out of the way and allowing people to just have an experience. Like, why would I deny you? Like, I've made a lot of mistakes in sobriety. I mean, forget about out there. I got sober when I was 21 also. I mean, I drank for probably 12 years or whatever I drank for. I started drinking at 8, and I got sober at 21, and I'm now 42, so I've been sober half my life. And I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've hurt people. The amends in sobriety are far more difficult than the ones that from out there, you know. But, like, why would I deny anybody else their experience? Like, go make your mistakes. I remember when I was like a year sober, there was this old timer who, he was at the meeting and we had the responsibility statement up on the wall. And he was like, I wrote that. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, I didn't author that, but I was at that meeting at the convention when a woman said that and I wrote it down. And I passed it on to somebody. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And he said, he just said to me, I said, well, you know, what's the secret of staying sober? Because you've been sober a really long time. And he goes, do you plan on staying sober? I said, yes. And he said, and I quote, plan on fucking up a lot. It's going to happen. Allow yourself and make amends. As you know, it was like really, I hold on to that idea. Like, none of us are perfect. We're not going to do this perfectly. It doesn't mean that I set out to injure anyone, but it does mean that I'm going to stumble. Because in my insanity, I've set out to do all kinds of things that I knew that was absolutely right, that in hindsight was insane. I don't know if you know what I mean. It's like, I have to get this thing. And it's just driven obsession, constant and persistent thought. I'm driven. I'm on one. I'm just going to do that thing. And this is going to make my life complete. It's going to round out all the corners. Like, this is going to be great. And then I just don't stop. And then until it all comes crashing down and I go, oh, I'm sorry. My bad. So I've been in meetings where I've heard people say, you got to get a God. You better get a God or you're not going to make it. Not true. Not true. And that's not aimed at anybody or at all here. It's just saying that's not my experience. And that's not the experience of people who've been sober a lot longer than me. When I first got sober, there was a guy with like 33 years in 1990 in Alameda. And he's like, I'm an atheist. And this works. And I'm happy. And he's since dead. But he had like 50, 60 years at one point. I don't know. You know, like, I don't understand what anybody has. Like, why would I care what you believe? What is it? It means nothing to me. It doesn't pay my bills. There's absolutely nothing. I have no dog in that fight. No dog in that fight. I have no fight. I just want to be here and I want to try to have as much fun as possible. I have tons of friends and I'm the only atheist that I know, you know. And I still love them and they love me. We don't broach the subject. Or we do and we laugh about it. It's not a big deal. I guess the whole idea is that by being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. And that the humility that it talks about in the 12 and 12, it talks about that if one wants to be sober, a certain amount of humility is required. And if one would be happy, still more is required. You could just be sober and not that happy. Or you could let go entirely and just say, this is not my show. I am not the boss. It doesn't matter what that woman over there is doing or what that guy over there is doing or what that family, it's none of my business. And then I can, and then I just live a lot happier. Trust me, I was king of, they're ruining AA. They're going to do XYZ. And I just have to let it go. You know, if things are not, because if you go to a different area, I guarantee you they're going to be doing it wrong. They don't do AA right. You go to another area and they do AA wrong. And yet everybody's staying sober. Thank God you arrived just in time. And I don't know how many times it's happened for me. Thank God I arrived in time. They have no idea how to stay sober here. Let me show them. I have 6 months or whatever, you know. It's like I arrived in LA at 3 years going, oh my God, they're doing it wrong here. I better fucking help them. I'm full of hubris. I'm full of ego and self. And the only way that I know, I don't know how to get out of self other than just to do the actions of the steps. And I can presume that I must have been able to get at least a modicum of not being selfish. I must have, because I'm here. But the problem with not being or being selfish is that once you make the statement that I'm not selfish, you're wrong. I have to get myself not selfish. That's retarded. It doesn't make sense. You know, I need a carrot. I need a distraction. I need something over here that goes, oh, what's this over here? That's how advanced I am. Look at the sparkly thing. And then I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about the sparkly thing. And something happens in there, you know. But yeah, AA is roomy and inclusive. Like, you get to do what you want. You get to do whatever, you know. What's it say? Rigorous honesty. Rigorous honesty. Belief or not belief. I mean, it's not faith. It's not belief. I have experience. I have experience that these steps work. I've experienced that this fellowship is an amazing thing. That, and I have never, I've seen a lot of conflicts in Alcoholics Anonymous, of course, we've all seen the arguments, but when push comes to shove, I've always seen it tend toward what's best for AA. It always tends that way. And so there's something really amazing about all this thing happening. I'll say this and I'll shut up. I realized that it says that we commence to outgrow fear, even the fear of death. And I was steady taking a lot of inventory, and a woman, I believe it was a woman, I don't remember where I heard it, but they said, I was caught up in this idea of like a God was necessary because there needed to be an afterlife. Because the ego needs to exist. The ego cannot conceive of itself not being, that I would die and just turn off. That was horrific to me. It scared the shit out of me. The ego's like, no! But then I thought, if that happens to me, actually I didn't think that. That's what somebody said this. If that were to happen to me, it's happened to every human being that has ever lived, and it will happen to every human being that will always live. And I felt like a part of this human thing, like it happens to us all. Whatever's going to happen to me will happen to us all, and I should just be here right now and not worry about after death. But that had a lot to do with the God thing too. As soon as I commenced to believe that or experience that, like I I was like, okay, I don't need this God. I don't need this thing. Not to say, you know, I'm not going to apologize anymore. Fuck that. I was like, this is just my experience. This is just my experience that, I've grown up in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I just have a lot less fear than I used to have as a result of these steps. And I'm so glad to be here. Thank you very much.